Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Health is in Your Hands, the radio show of the Kalyana Center in Narberth, Pennsylvania. I'm Dr. Joanna Carmichael, registered nurse and Ayurvedic practitioner, and I'm one of your co-hosts this morning, and I'm here with Nick Colasanti. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Joanna. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, Nick is a hypnotherapist at the Kalyana Center, and we really enjoy doing these shows together. This morning, it's June 3rd already. We were just saying how fast the year is going, and we cover a variety of topics that we feel would be of interest to our listeners, and it's all about keeping your health in your hands to empower you to really take responsibility and gain some knowledge about your mind, body, your heart, your spirit. And so that's really the purpose of our show. Thanks for being with me today, Nick.
No problem, Joanne. I always enjoy talking with you and talking to our audience. I thought maybe today we should encourage people, if they want to. We haven't done this as much as we probably should have in the past, to encourage people to give us a call. If they want to talk to us while we're doing the show, they can do that. And maybe we can give out the phone number, and we'll give priority to anybody who decides to call for talking about a topic. We'll make sure that we're not having them on hold too long. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that sounds great, Nick. Absolutely. The guest call-in number is 347-996-5925. And as Nick said, we welcome callers and would love to have your questions and, you know, have the conversation. Mm-hmm. So today we're talking about beauty from the inside out, and we'll be focusing on Ayurvedic tips for gorgeous skin. So skincare is a big hot topic. I just gave a lecture last week for the Skin Talk speaker series, which is now at our center every month, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about. And it's a lovely group of people, estheticians, and, you know, everybody is welcome. So we have a really nice variety of people, and the topic is different every month. So we're starting to do that, and skincare is very important.
Mm-hmm. It might seem like that it's obvious, Joanna, that people should take care of their skin, but we know that we don't necessarily do. We come into the world with this amazing skin as a little baby, you know, and it stays relatively youthful for a good many years. But before you know it, with the, you know, being outside in the sun maybe too much, not protecting ourselves, all that stuff. So why is skin condition, why is the condition of our skin so important to us? What does it actually do for us?
Well, the skin is the largest organ in on the body. You know, it's a great indicator of what's going on inside our body. It's, you know, it protects us. It helps regulate our temperature. And, you know, it's the gateway to the inner pharmacy because, you know, underneath are all the, you know, the lymph and the circulation. And, you know, we can gain a lot of knowledge by looking at the quality of our skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we absorb, you know, the skin is very absorptive as well, which is, you know, if you have any doubts about that, there's even drug delivery systems through the skin. You know, we can treat patients with angina with a nitroglycerin patch, and that's where a drug is, you know, absorbed into the skin. Women get birth control and hormonal therapy through the skin. So if you have any doubts as to, you know, the fact that your skin can, you know, absorb good things as well as the toxins and everything from our environment, and, you know, just think about the drug delivery systems that are out there. So it's really important, you know, how we take care of our skin as well as how we take care of the inside of our body.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you know, we say this all the time, and I think people hear the word, but they don't realize, and you say it's the largest organ in our body, mm-hmm. right? And we don't think of that really. That we think of our heart, our lungs, our kidneys, our stomach. We think of those things as organs, and we're, you know, more apt to want to take care of them when we know that there's something going on. But the skin itself, does it show when there's something wrong with it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think what's going on the interior is definitely shows up on the exterior. Like, for example, when we have a skin eruption, you know, whether we get hives or acne or something like that, that's indicative that there is an imbalance in the body. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, you know, it's telling us that that is an inflammation going on. inside the body. So, you know, just to give people a little mini lesson in Ayurveda, this is about the Ayurveda is a five element perspective of space, air, fire, water, and earth. And so the five elements combine to form the three doshas or constitutional types. So space and air combine to form the vata dosha, which is the lightest and driest constitution. And earth and water combine to form the kapha dosha, which is the heaviest, the moist, the thicker, solid, stable constitution. And in between is pitta dosha, which is fire and a little bit of water, which is the hot, heat penetrating and moist dosha, and more of a medium build type of a person. And so depending upon what imbalance is occurring in the body, we're really looking at the energetics of the elements and the doshas in order to see what's going on. And when we have inflammation of any type, whether it's on our skin or inside the body, which is going to translate to both anyway, it's a pitta imbalance, which means that the body is really overheated in some way, shape, or form. So there's too much fire. And like a fire in your fireplace, you know, when it's burning beautifully and brightly, it's giving off light and heat and it's pleasant to look at. But if it's dwindling down to ashes, it's not doing anything and it's creating toxins. And if it's blazing out of control, it'll burn the house down. And so, you know, if you think of that, you know, analogy as what's going on in the body, that's the, you know, that's the makings of inflammation. And so when we have something on the skin that is, you know, isn't right, that is inflamed, you know, that's also signaling that something's inflamed in the body and the mind. You know, the body mind are completely connected, if not the same. I don't even say connection anymore. I just say body mind because they are really one. So that's just, you know, how Ayurveda looks at it. And so when I see a skin eruption, you know, I've actually shifted my perspective on it. Instead of being annoyed or, you know, getting acne and saying, oh, my God, isn't this awful, I am grateful that it's showing up on the outside rather than on the inside. And when we use drugs that are suppressive in nature to just stop the inflammation or to just get rid of the skin condition, we really drive that energy inward. And so instead of showing up on the outside, these things are driven in and then can wreak havoc on the inside in the forms of heart disease and diabetes and, you know, ulcers and other stress-related things.
People tend to think in terms of skin problems. Their immediate response is to go see a dermatologist, to go see a doctor, because they think that that is going to be the answer. I mean, people get acne, they have eczema, they have psoriasis, they have rosacea. There's any number of things that happen. I think that what you were saying, though, that something to do that manifests on the outside many times has an inside component to it. And what's your take on medications that people use?
Well, I think pharmaceuticals in general, as it relates to, you know, dermatology, I think is the wrong way to go, because it suppresses symptoms rather than find out what the symptoms are about and then correct it on the level of the first cause. You know, there's a reason why things happen. There's a reason why we get a skin eruption, or there's a reason why we feel indigestion or have, you know, gastric disturbance or, you know, get headaches or whatever. There's reasons for all of that stuff. And so when we are just trying to create the solution on the level of the problem, we're not going to get the lasting relief or true healing. We might get a cure, you know, which is temporary, or, you know, and healing and cure are different things. So I think it's a suppressive nature to use a pharmaceutical. It's like acne has been treated with antibiotics. You know, childhood acne has been treated with antibiotics, and people as adults suffer from the side effects of that. You know, it totally destroys the gut flora, and the gut flora is very important in digestion. And then, you know, when you're not digesting your food and your experiences properly, because the Ayurveda looks at it that way, digestion in terms of, you know, what we take in with food, but how do we digest the things that happen to us? How do we digest what we see, hear, feel, taste, and touch? So it's a multidimensional type of an approach. And so when we're not digesting properly, these things come outward, and if we don't treat the symptom at the level of the, you know, where it first started, we're not going to get any lasting results. And dermatologists and GI doctors both, you know, don't ask patients what they're eating, which is like the first question that they should be asking when there's a problem, but they just, you know, want to treat the symptom, not the cause.
I would, again, encourage people to want to talk to us. You can call us at 347-996-5925. That's 347-996-5925. It's interesting, John, in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about this before, but most people know that I do interviews with authors pretty much from all over the country. And in the last 2 weeks, I've done two interviews. One was called Grain of Truth, and it's the real case. It says against wheat and gluten. And the other one was The Good Gut. It's taking control of your weight, your mood, and your long-term health. So I think it's interesting that we're talking about how what we take in impacts our body more than what we realize a lot of times. And, you know, we think we're designed to eat almost anything until we have a reaction from it, but we're not. It takes, you know, sometimes we suppress our immune systems by putting things into our body that we like rather than things that are good for us.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And really, our ability to digest certain things can also be dependent on our dosha, on our constitutional type. For example, vatas have very delicate digestion, and they can be easily disturbed. They can be easily disturbed by anything, really. And so they're the most delicate dosha. 80% of illnesses are vata-related because that's the principle of movement. And we all have all of the energetics within us all the time. So that principle of movement is, you know, it can wreak havoc, and when it's in balance, it's great, and when it's not in balance, it can wreak havoc. While a pitta digestion, or much stronger digestion, they can digest, you know, much easier than a vata person, and kaphas have very, you know, very slow, steady, solid, you know, digestion when they're in balance. But, you know, depending on the dosha, it's really, you know, it's dependent on, you know, how well we digest, again, experiences and foods. And so when you're eating in harmony with your constitutional type, you're going to have fewer problems as long as you're doing things that are in harmony. And one person's poison can be another person's nectar. So that's why it's very important to know your constitution, to know yourself, essentially. You know, it's an awareness and consciousness-based system.
It keeps coming back to that, doesn't it, Joanna, that we know ourselves. We think it should be the most obvious thing in the world and intuitive that we would know ourselves. But when it comes down to it, the more we discuss these things, the more we realize we actually don't. We're not paying attention to ourselves as much as we should. So talk to us a little bit about the idea, okay, although the skin eruptions show up on the outside, talk to us about any emotional or psychological connection, or if there is such a thing, to what shows up on the outside. When you say what's going on the inside, are you talking about the psychology, the emotions, or are you talking about the physiology on the inside, or all three?
I'm talking about all of it, and that was absolutely the next thing I was going to cover is the, you know, how our emotions can affect our skin, and you do this work also with people in hypnosis, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, everything, I'm a metaphysician, so we view everything in the universe as is energy, and the energy of, you know, not only things that are solid that we can see and experience with our five senses, but even our thoughts are energy, and our emotions and feelings have energy. And so, you know, when I'm going back to that concept of digestion, it's like when somebody gives you a compliment, you have to digest that. When somebody assaults you with a nasty remark or betrays you, you also have to digest that. Now, obviously, digestion of the first one is a little easier. Not for everybody, but it should, you know, it's generally easier to digest the good things. But the not-so-good things, the traumas and the things that happen to us in our lives, physically, emotionally, mentally, we have to do something with the energy of that, of those emotions. And when we don't, when we repress or suppress those things, the energy of them has to go somewhere. And so if if it's not allowed to come up and out, then it goes in and it wreaks havoc again with things like digestive disturbance, insomnia, depression, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, all these chronic illnesses. Most have really an emotional component that not everyone is willing to look at. Everything has an emotional, mental component. As far as, I'm concerned, and as far as Ayurveda is concerned, everything really starts in the mind. And so, the suppressive nature of medicine and pharmaceuticals, again, does not encourage that, expression of up and out. And so that's problematic. And the knowing ourselves part is huge. That's why in Ayurveda we meditate first and foremost, because that's the way to get to know ourselves and to bring our awareness inward rather than on the outside, which isn't even the real reality. What we see with our five senses isn't the real reality. It's what's inside. It's what the universe is within us, not the other way around.
So I guess another way of saying is that everything gets in. We think in terms of, you eat some food, obviously that's something that's originally external. You take it inside, it becomes internal and becomes part of who we are, like the old expression, you are what you eat, in a sense. But it also applies to emotional things, that everything gets in, everything. It's hard, you can't block your eyes from seeing. It's hard to, to block an emotional experience of as something that happens when you're not being prepared for it. So everything gets in, and everything then has an effect on us in one form or another. I mean, when we do the show on this from a hypnotic hypnosis perspective, we'll talk more about that. But it's true that everything does get in, right? So Joanna, how can you give us an example? Can you give us an example of, let's say, a food program or some things that a particular dosha should eat to help it? To help the person be as optimal as they can possibly be, and to prevent some of these things that show up in our skin.
Sure. What I wanted to mention. You mentioned the eyes, and the eyes, for example, are a pitta organ. And so what we take in through our eyes, like you said, consciously or unconsciously, when we're watching violence on TV. We think that might be pretty benign, or when we're watching the news, or we're watching an episode of CSI Miami, at 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. We're taking that in to our physiology through our eyes. And so, again, we have to do something with that information. That has to be processed. And it's really disturbing to the physiology to see violent images and things like that, and hear what we hear on the news. We take it in through our ears, through our eyes. And we have to do something with that. So we want to, it seems maybe deceptively simple, that if we just eliminated or reduced the amount of news that we watch or the amount of violence we expose ourselves to from the television, right then and there we can elicit a change in our physiology. So I just wanted to make that point, that these seemingly benign things that we do matter from an Ayurvedic perspective. It all matters.
It definitely does.
It all matters, right. So, from a dietary perspective, a pitta imbalance is too much heat. The other doshas, vata and kapha, are cold doshas. That's the only thing they actually have in common. But the pitta dosha is heat, and that's why it contributes to inflammation in the body that can be seen on the skin. And so a pitta pacifying diet would include foods that are more bitter, astringent, and sweet. The sweet, sour, salty is what pacifies a vata dosha. Bitter, pungent, and astringent are what pacify a kapha dosha. So it's to lighten them up. The other is to ground the vatas and bring them down to earth. And then pitta is kind of a combination. We always eat the six flavors at all three meals of the day, but we favor some foods and reduce other foods depending upon what imbalance is going on in the physiology. So pittas favor more sweet foods. Salty and sour aggravate. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire, so they aggravate pitta. And then bitter and astringent are good for pitta because that helps the detoxification process that pitta is generally known for. But pungent foods can also aggravate because the pungent foods are sharp. They're the, you know, the heat foods, the peppers, the radishes, the garlic, the ginger. Ginger is actually universal, so that's not a great example. But, you know, the spices, like, and cinnamon, things that are sharp. So that's aggravating to that dosha. So when we have a skin inflammation or we have indigestion or something, some inflammation, arthritis going on in the body, you want to decrease the foods that are going to contribute to inflammation. And so your sweeter foods are going to be your grains, your pastas, rices, breads, and meats, as well as sweet foods, you know, obviously sweet foods like honey, molasses, sugar itself. And then bitter and astringent are more your, the bitters are your green leafy vegetables, you know, all of the lettuces. And astringent foods are the beans, the legumes that are compacting and detoxifying. And so mm-hmm. with, you know, choosing foods and spices that are cooling to the physiology are also good, like cumin, coriander, you know, nutmeg, cardamom are very soothing to the physiology, can bring that inflammation down. Coconut oil, ghee are fantastic for decreasing inflammation. And then the results are going to be seen on the skin. Turmeric is another great, great herb for the skin. And once you take in a diet that favors more of the sweet, bitter, and astringent foods, you're going to start to see results on your skin within, you know, within a couple days. It's practically immediate because the effects are going to be on the plasma and the blood, which have a direct correlation with the complexion.
And I was just thinking that I had one of my questions, how quickly, if somebody changes the way they eat and follow this, you know, dietary style that you're talking about, will they see changes fairly quickly? And you just answered that question mm-hmm. for us. And so if somebody
yeah.
wants to know more, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
If somebody wants to know more about this, I mean, you said a lot of things there that are really, really important. So people can listen to this show again and again, can't they, if they want to?
Absolutely. You know, we always have the show in the archives, and we're going to be looking into seeing how we can create a transcription of the show. And, you know, also want to just give some tips that people can use immediately. You know, some of my Ayurvedic lifestyle practices that I think are, you know, make me feel good and I know show up on my skin are like starting my day with lemon ginger water. With a little stevia in it, or honey if you want to make it a little bit sweet. That's very cleansing and detoxifying to the physiology and especially to the liver. You know, we also do something, we brush our teeth and our tongue to remove the toxins that actually inevitably come up on the tongue and before doing anything. Then we do something called oil pulling, where you have oil like sesame seed oil or coconut oil in the mouth for about 10 to 15 minutes, and that pulls toxins from the physiology. That's also great for the skin. Eating cultured vegetables is what restores gut flora and really gives the gut proper bacteria so that food can be digested in a healthy way, so that it produces something called ojas, which is subtle nourishment, rather than ama, which is toxic residue. So those are just a couple things that people can do right off the bat that they can notice a difference. And drinking plenty of water. You know, water is wonderful, especially with lemon, lime. I use essential oils in my water to make it a little more interesting, and sipping hot water throughout the day is an Ayurvedic practice that is very healing and detoxifying. Again, deceptively simple, but it's, you know, it really is very, very effective. Ayurveda is like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Joanna, we haven't had a chance to talk about this in this show. I know we've referred to this in past shows, but talk to our audience about the value of good sleep, you know, because we talked about the character Sleeping Beauty, and we know, we hear people say, I should get my beauty sleep. Is there something literal about that?
Oh, I love that, Nick. That is absolutely true. You know, we think of bad nutrition as the mother of all disease, and insomnia is the father.
Okay.
Getting sleep and rest is extremely important. And, you know, as I was talking about the doshas, there's doshic parts of the lifespan, there's doshic parts of the body, there's doshic times of the year, there's doshic times of the day. And so pitta time, that time I was talking about, that is the, you know, the leader of inflammation when it's out of control, is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., so 10 to 2, both sides of the clock. And that is the time when the digestion is the highest. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is when we should eat our largest meal, eat a bigger lunch, because the digestive fire is the highest. But then at night, from 10 to 2, is when we should be sleeping and detoxifying and allowing the body to release toxins and purify itself. So we should be getting to bed by 10:30, like lights out by 10:30, so that the body can do that process. And getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep, depending on your constitutional type, is very important. So usually if you get to bed after 10:30, you get that second wind. I know I'm a pitta, and that, you know, I fight that almost every night. But getting sleep from 10 to 6 is a different thing than getting sleep from 12 to 8. It's not the same, even though it's both 8 hours. And so when we sleep from, the more sleep we can get before midnight, the better, when the body has the best chance of detoxifying. If we're going to bed too late, we're in that pitta time when, if we're not asleep, the body can't do what it wants to do. And that's usually when we're getting up and going to the refrigerator and eating stuff we shouldn't be eating because we're craving something, because that fire wants to digest something. When we're asleep, that fire should be purifying and detoxifying the body. And then it goes into vata time after that, where it's a very active time, both in the daytime and the nighttime. But at nighttime, that should be our dream time. And so sleep is incredibly important, and getting it more sleep before midnight is the best thing that we can do. And then we wake up refreshed, and, you know, you're not trying to artificially hide dark circles. You literally don't have dark circles when you're getting enough sleep.
So what about people, they might say to you, if I go to bed at 10 o'clock, then I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock because I'm going to bed too early. How would you answer that?
I would say then wake up at 4 o'clock and meditate.
Okay.
because that's actually the best time to meditate. I'm up many times by 4:30, and
okay.
It's a great time to meditate. It's vata time, that time of space and air, akasha. You know, it's a great time to go within and experience the spaciousness that is within our awareness without the outside distractions. And if you're fine with that amount of sleep and you feel refreshed and awake, then meditate. You'll get even deeper rest because it'll be rest for the mind. And so I think, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's worse to go from 12 to like 7 or whatever, and then if you've ever hit your alarm clock, you know, trying to get that extra 15, 20 minutes of sleep, and then you end up feeling worse. Because after 6 o'clock, it's kapha time, so that's earth and water, and that's a very heavy time, both in the morning and in the evening. In the evening, it works in our favor as a time that we should eat a light dinner and prepare ourselves for sleep and rest with a beautiful evening ritual that we have in Ayurveda. And then in the morning, it's a time we should really have already been up for a while, you know, eat a light breakfast and exercise and do our morning routine and invigorate ourselves. So that's why, you know, getting sleep and waking up before kapha time comes in is really important.
This is very fascinating stuff. How much time do we have left?
Just under two minutes.
Is there anything topical that people could use? You mentioned the idea of using essential oils and putting it into, you know, might put it into water or something. Are there any essential oils that you would see as topical that could help people with their skin problems?
Definitely. You know, if you're going to have one essential oil in the house, have lavender. Lavender is an overall, you know, across the board, great oil to have. It's wonderful for the skin, great if you get sunburn. It's nourishing, it's anesthetic, antiseptic. It's, you know, a wonderful oil to have. If you're having skin issues, tea tree oil, Melaleuca it's called, or neem oil. In Ayurveda, we use neem. It's not the most pleasant smelling oil, but it is extremely effective for inflammation. You can even use neem to get rid of pests on plants. You know, it's a very natural and effective way to get rid of little bugs on plants. And so, I would say those three are, and coconut oil is wonderful. We have something that's you know, Abhyanga, which is a self-massage that we do every day, and that is very nourishing and wonderful for the physiology. We're running out of time, and there's so much more to say, so we'll have to do this topic again, and, you know, in two weeks, we'll be talking about hypnosis and how that affects the skin, which I'm really looking forward to.
Well, it was great today, Joanna.
Yeah, great conversation, great questions as usual, Nick.
And how can people get in touch with us?
You can find us always at www.thekalyanacenter.com or my website, drjoannacarmichael.com. You can find us at 484-412-8815 and listen to the archives anytime. This will be posted on the website and on my blog and on Facebook and Twitter. So we'll look forward to talking with you in 2 weeks, Nick. Thanks,
all right,
everybody.
Sounds great, Joanna. Nice talking to everybody as well. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Joanna.
Bye.